Pop Spotting 104.
Thursday, August 11th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's time for some pop talk and trivia for Thursday.
That's right. That's where we ask you what you're watching, reading, or listening to.
And after you school us, we try to school you with some unexpectedly challenging trivia. Our guest this week is Jimmy in Georgia. He is the host of the Falling Skies podcast. You can find him at Jimmy in GA on Twitter. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hello, thanks for having me, Ryan and Jen.
It's always great to have a fellow podcaster on, and the Falling Skies cast, pretty cool stuff for a new show on TNT. How about getting things started? What would be, what would be your first pick here to share?
My first pick would definitely be Falling Skies.
All right.
Definitely think it's probably the best show of this summer. I've definitely enjoyed this first little run of episodes. I think it's started off really strong, has a good storytelling, good acting. Even from the children on the show, I think, have done a really good job, which is kind of hard to find, especially in TV.
Well, you know, we just had Desiree on, and she picked The Falling Skies as one of her picks as well. But in your case, it's a show that inspired you enough to do a show about the show. So, I mean, clearly your love must run deeper than the average fan. Jen and I have yet to catch up with it. We know that it has Noah Wiley on it and Moon Bloodgood.
Right.
But what is it about this show that really got its claws deep into your heart, Jimmy?
Well, the first thing really was just the fact that Steven Spielberg was attached to it. He is the executive producer of the show, and unlike a lot of executive producers, it's not just a title. He actually was involved in the show. He's involved in like approving like CGI and stuff like that. So it's definitely, I've just been growing up with Steven Spielberg fan. I mean, he's just awesome. Like
right,
really, like growing up with movies like E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind or Jaws or so many things that he was involved with apart from those, like the Goonies. Mm-hmm. Just a kid of the 80s. He's just like one of those icons out there. So that definitely was what got my attention about it. That and then too, he and Robert Rodat helped create the show. And Robert Rodat is most famous probably for writing the screenplay for Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, right.
It was a great movie. So that definitely got my attention. And then finally, after seeing trailers and images and things, it's like, wow, this looks really good. So,
well, you mentioned Steven Spielberg, and of course Super 8 had come out and is really a tribute to the growing up to his films in the 80s and such, and it had that feel to it. Do you sense that level of wonder and heart in Falling Skies already?
I do, actually. Like, I really feel like one thing they've done well early on is, at least for me, I'm not sure about everybody else out there, I feel like I'm connected to these characters. I mean, there's lots of characters on the show, but there's probably a core group of around five they really focus in on quite a bit. And like, I don't know, for whatever reason, whatever they've done to develop those characters, I feel connected to those people. So when they're in a scary, dark place with an alien coming at them, it seems a little scarier just because you care, you know, what's going to happen. And I think with this kind of show, you never really know if someone's going to die. I mean, I think like with, say, The Walking Dead or something, like you never know when a zombie's going to grab somebody and kill them. So it's the same kind of thing here. You never know when a mech or a skitter is going to come along and take someone away. Like, we had that happen kind of early on in the show already. Like, one of the somewhat main characters was taken away and kidnapped. So,
what's a mech or a skitter?
The skitters are like these sort of a spider-looking alien. They have six legs and two arms. And then they have, far as we know, robots that they've created that are like bipedal. Like, you know, kind of looks like something from RoboCop. Like a bipedal giant robot with guns and things.
So tell us a little bit about the child actors. You mentioned that there are children characters on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
I believe that one of the young men's name is Maxim Knight, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Born in Honolulu, actually.
That's right. Yeah, I remember you tweeting me that trivia. He is he plays Noah Wiley's son, Hal Mason, and his name's Matt on the show. And he's done a really great job, I think. I mean, you look at even major motion pictures, a lot of times the child actors are not that great. And I think he's done a really good performance thus far in the show.
Now, you mentioned sort of the core group of the five, and of course there's Noah's character and Moon's character, but do you have a favorite among that core group, and can you tell us about that character?
I mean, I definitely would say Tom Mason is Noah Wiley's character. Probably, you know, he's supposed to be your favorite character, I guess, I would assume. He kind of seems to be the focus of the story. It's him and his three sons is kind of how the show, I think, really tries to pull you in. He has two sons that are with him that are in the resistance, Hal and Matt. And Matt's the younger one, and Hal's like a teenager. And he has another teenage son who has been captured by the aliens and has what they call a harness on his neck and his head. Basically, the aliens are using these little teenage kids as like zombies for like slave labor, which is just kind of strange. And there's all kinds of mysterious things. Like, we don't know why the aliens are here. We don't know why they've abducted these teenagers and that type of thing. I think there's lots of opportunity for good things to happen as we learn more about some of these mysteries.
Wow, so that sounds really interesting. I hope we can catch up with it. So what is your second recommendation?
My second recommendation is something I just started watching. Is Star Wars The Clone Wars. It's a cartoon on Cartoon Network. It started like almost 4 years ago, I think now, but I really hadn't gotten into it until like here the last few weeks. And I don't know, like, I know usually people are recommending things a little more adult.
No.
But I honestly have been a Star Wars fan, kind of same thing with Steven Spielberg, growing up with George Lucas, you know, Star Wars and all those things. And so it's interesting for me to see a continuation of those things. And I know some people didn't care for the prequels. I enjoyed them, and I've definitely been enjoying the cartoon of the Clone Wars as well.
Well, you know, I definitely know it has a huge following. The closest I've come to watching an episode was the Ace of Cakes episode, where they made a cake for the crew. But I mean, this, I know that it's computer generated. It's not the Lego thing, but I mean, where does it fit into the Star Wars universe? It comes between the three prequels and the original Star Wars film?
No, it actually comes in between episode 2 and 3, so the second and third of the prequel movie. And it kind of fills in that gap, because the end of the second movie, you have the beginning of the Clone Wars, and then the third movie, you have basically the end of the Clone Wars. And so it fills in that gap in between. And I think they finished 3 seasons. They're about to go into season 4. And originally, I think they had planned for around 5 seasons to kind of fill in that.
And are these characters that we're familiar with, or are they all new people living in this universe?
Most of them are characters that you're familiar with, but it doesn't always focus on those people. Like the first episode of the actual show focused on Yoda, and then Anakin and Obi-Wan are really, you know, major players, but I mean, sometimes they're not necessarily focused in an episode. And then you have some of the villains that were in the movies, like Count Dooku or General Grievous, Emperor Palpatine, all those people are around. Okay. So I find it very interesting. And it is a kid show, but they've kind of made a balance as you go along that it's not too kid-friendly and it's not too adult. They've actually, I think, done a pretty good job with that, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, how did you come to watch a show that at least feels like a kid show? What was the thing that made you want to try it out?
Most of that was really just from listening to different podcasts. I'm a fan of Geek Out Loud that Steve Lawson puts out, and he talks about Star Wars a lot. And then I started listening to the Force Cast, which is another Star Wars podcast, and just hearing them talk about having the actors on his interviews and stuff. And I was like, I need to check this out. I hadn't really given it a shot. And so I've really enjoyed it.
We know we actually have young kids, so maybe we'd even have an excuse to try out this show. You said it's been around for 4 years. I mean, like, are there seasons? Does it come out on DVD? How can someone jump into this show?
Right now, there's 2 seasons out on Blu-ray and DVD. The third season's coming out really soon, and I think all of them are up on iTunes for like a digital download already. And I think the fourth season starts around September.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Jimmy, what is your third recommendation?
Okay, my third one is kind of a random one. I don't know. There's lots of people out there watching Game of Thrones and stuff.
Right.
And this is kind of related to that. Sean Bean was one of the main characters on that show. He's from Lord of the Rings and GoldenEye, a bunch of movies. He had a movie, I think it was independent because it was a very limited release, of a movie called Black Death. I don't know if you guys have heard about that one.
Wow, sounds interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about the rest of the cast?
I honestly don't know anyone else from the cast as far as like as a famous person. But I watched the movie on Netflix, Instant Watch. And it was basically, if you're familiar with the movie Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay.
It's that similar storyline, probably with like less than 1/10 of the budget and a much better movie. It basically entails that the Catholic Church is interested in investigating a village who wasn't touched by the bubonic plague. And the stories or the rumors is that a witch is in the village and is protecting the people with her magic. And so Sean Bean leads a group of marauders, I guess, to go check this out. And it really is an interesting story. I really enjoyed it. Like, it's a, you know, period piece from like the 1300s with the armors and the weapons and stuff. I don't know, it was just a lot of fun, I thought. And it was kind of gory. It's an R-rated movie, Definitely a big swing from a kid show to this, but I thought it was an excellent film.
You just discovered Black Death on Netflix streaming and played Netflix Roulette or something? I mean, or was it, again, the Sean Bean connection that made you try it out?
So that was the main thing. It was Sean Bean, but I'd actually heard about it several months ago. It was available on Xbox Live for a download before it was theatrically released. And there was actually two movies that they did the same thing. There was one called The Disappearance on 7th Street that had Hayden Christensen in it. And for whatever reason, the company, I think it's called Magnet, that produced these films, had them both available for a download on Xbox before it was actually released in theaters, which I thought was kind of interesting. And so that's how I was made aware of the movies. I read the, you know, the little recap and watched the preview. I didn't pay to watch them at that point, but when I saw them up on Netflix, I checked both of those out, actually.
And you said it was a period piece set during the Black Death. I mean, does that help, or does it feel educational, or is it really just a nice set dressing to have some mayhem?
Well, it definitely, I thought it was, I don't know, it's just an interesting thing. Like, it's one of those kind of movies where you see the Catholic Church a lot of times in movies is not portrayed in the best light. And this is kind of another one of those movies where they're out sending warriors to a village and are basically looking to, you know, kill witches and things. And I don't know, it was really interesting. It was some twists and turns in there that you wouldn't necessarily expect, I guess. And so, I don't know, I think for a free movie, to watch on Netflix, I think it was actually really good.
Well, we love Netflix streaming, and sometimes we're looking at that instant queue and just can't pick something, so I think we might check this one out.
Yeah, sounds great. So, Jimmy's three picks were Falling Skies on TNT, Star Wars The Clone Wars, and the film Black Death starring Sean Bean.
Fantastic stuff.
So, are you ready for some trivia?
I think so.
All right, well, here on Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, we'll let you pick two out of three categories, and you only need to get two out of three right to take that category. And what are Jimmy's categories?
His categories are Name That Song, Movie Dates, and Flag Facts.
So Name That Song from the mid-70s. It's a mid-70s edition, so it'll test your knowledge of that area if you choose that one. Movie Dates, and that's just kind of a clever title, but definitely a movie category. And American Flags, which is a traditional trivia category. What's it going to be, Jimmy?
I guess we'll go with Movie Dates and American Flag.
Fantastic. All right, Jen.
We'll name three pairs of famous films considered to go great together, and you tell us which of the movies came first. You ready?
Okay.
Number one, The Usual Suspects or Fight Club?
Usual Suspects.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Usual Suspects came out in 1995. Fight Club came out in 1999.
Very good.
Number two, Raiders of the Lost Ark or E.T.?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
Very good.
Very good. Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 1981, E.T. in 1982.
Hey, you have taken the category, but maybe you can clear it out. What do we got for number three?
Number three, Casablanca or Gone with the Wind?
I think Casablanca.
No.
Oh.
Gone with the Wind. It came out in 1939. Casablanca came out in 1941.
But you still took the category, and that was very impressive. Almost no hesitation, Jimmy. But here we go. What's the last category?
Flag facts. Number one, this state's flag is one of the country's most controversial. After nearly half a century, it was changed in 2001. But after being voted the worst designed flag of all states, it was changed again in 2003.
Is it South Carolina?
No, Georgia.
Oh, Jimmy, holy cow. Jimmy in GA. Yeah, it was the Georgia flag. Remember with the whole Confederate symbol and everything?
Right. But I think a couple other states have that or did have that as well.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, that I am absolutely shocked. I thought it was kind of cool that you picked that category, but you didn't get Georgia. But that's okay. You still got a chance to take the category.
Number two, the most common colors on American state flags are not surprisingly red, white, and blue. Only two state flags are primarily yellow. New Jersey is one of them. What is the other?
Ooh.
Yellow flag.
Colorado?
No.
No.
It's New Mexico.
It was New Mexico. It's got sort of that red plus symbol right there in the middle of the flag. Oh, no. And well, that's okay. Maybe still some redemption here. Number three.
And number three, one of the most persistent urban legends surrounds the design of the California state flag. It features a grizzly bear, but many people will tell you it was supposed to feature something else. What?
Sasquatch.
Actually, I think I would have liked that story.
No, a pear.
A pear instead of a bear.
The flag was commissioned by the name of Bartlett, the man who the pears were named after. Snopes posted it as true as a test of whether people check their sources, but it's been republished so many times in real newspapers that many cite it as true.
So there you have it, flag facts. Unfortunately, Jimmy, you weren't able to get any of those questions, but you did clear out the movie date, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show, but before we let you go, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and where folks can find you.
Sure. On Twitter, I am Jimmy in Georgia. That's Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y-I-N-G-A. Mm-hmm. And also with the Falling Skies cast, you can find us on Twitter as The Falling Skies. And also you can check out our website, fallingskiescast.com. And I didn't actually mention this, but my wife actually does help me with the podcast now. She started 4 episodes ago, which has been fun. She's still kind of new at this, and so she's still kind of nervous, but I think she's getting better, which is fun.
Wow, that's great.
We love husband and wife podcasts.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the two of you, and we're going to really try to catch Falling Skies and then tune in to Falling Skies Cast. Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll be back in a week with another guest slash victim. If you'd like to be one of them, please get in touch. We love hearing about what you love, and we do certainly love challenging you with random trivia.
If you're having trouble keeping up with our show, and if iTunes is slowing you down, you can now hear our show on demand with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher has news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no storage wasted.
It's available for your iPhone, Android phones, WebOS phones, or even your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. You can go to Stitcher.com or, of course, just check out your phone's app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
We love hearing from all of you, so please don't hesitate to let us know what is on your mind and what you want us to cover here on Pop Spotting. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net, or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
And if you want to get a conversation going with other Pop Spotting listeners, you can post your thoughts to our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting.
And if you want to chat with us, you can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back tomorrow with a long overdue serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Ate logo.
Ate logo. What is that?
Portuguese. Ah.